Pipes, who is president of the Middle East Forum. He is a very prominent historian, a columnist for the Washington Times, where his special interests include the public role of Islam, Turkey, and the ongoing Arab-Israeli conflict. He is also the author of a new book, which is eagerly awaited. It's coming out in June of this year. The title of the book, which is highly provocative, is Israel Victory: How Zionists Win Acceptance and Palestinians Get Liberated. Now, I haven't seen the book yet. It's not out until June 18th. But do you believe, Daniel, that by the time your book appears, Israel will have achieved something that is recognizable as victory in the war in Gaza?
Well, thank you for the question, Michael, and good to chat with you again. Benjamin Netanyahu has been extraordinarily focused on the notion of victory since October 7th. I've been counting, I've been logging his mentions, and there have been 50, I'm using English, and I don't follow him everywhere he goes, and I have 50 examples, so it's roughly once every 3 days. He's determined, and of course President Biden is discouraging that idea. And then the question arises, what is victory in this context? Prime Minister Netanyahu has referred to resounding victory, to total victory, and the like. I think what that means in this case is there is no Hamas that is functional in Gaza. And so your question, I would think, means will Hamas still be functional in Gaza? I think not. I think it will be just a remnant of itself. I don't think it will be 100% gone, but I think it will be basically gone. So, yes, I do think the Israelis are going for victory in Gaza. But let me add that that's not what I'm talking about. That's what my book is about. It's not about a tactical victory on the ground. It's about getting the Palestinians to accept Israel.
And when you say that how the Zionists win acceptance and Palestinians get liberated, what would Palestinians be liberated from? Would they be liberated, first of all, from the domination by a terrorist group called Hamas? But what else would their liberation, as you put it, what would that entail?
It's my argument that the Palestinian response to Zionism from its very inception 140 years ago, when they weren't even called Palestinians yet, has always been of one nature, namely, no to you, no to your religion, no to your ideology, no to your economy, no to everything. I call it rejectionism. Rejectionism is the ideology. It developed over the decades, and it's no. I believe it's unique in the world. There is no other ideology comparable to it, nor the genocidal ideology comparable to it. There are other genocides, to be sure, but the end, for example, the Turkish genocide of Armenians was a century ago, and it ended. You don't see young Turks going to camps to learn how to murder Armenians. It's over. This one continues. It continues and continues. And so I see liberation as the end of this horrible ideology, which, of course, harms Israelis, but also, of course, harms Palestinians.
When you say the Palestinian ideology is genocidal, which the record so clearly indicates and really has been a problem since before the creation of the State of Israel, some of the casualties, which I know you've written about during the Arab riots, revolt of 1929, when they killed religious students in Hebron and elsewhere in among his Jewish settlements. Is it not ironic that given the genocidal nature of this ideology, that Israel is now, according to many sources around the world, guilty of practicing genocide.
It is ironic, and it points to another unique feature. This now not generally of the Palestinians, but of Hamas specifically. Not the Palestinian Authority in West Bank, but Hamas in Gaza. What Hamas in Gaza has done now for 17 years is, I believe, again, unique. What they have done is not use their population as cannon fodder in fighting, which is quite common. We saw it in Ukraine. Wagner's prison recruits just being thrown into the meat grinder and dying. That's pretty common through history. But what's not common is what Hamas has done, which is to say, hey, civilians, we're going to get you battered. We're going to get you hungry, miserable, dead. And then we're going to tell the world about this, and the world will be upset at Israel for what you are enduring. So in other words, what Hamas has done for 17 years is to exploit Gazan misery for their own aims. And they discovered early on that it works. You attack Israel with kites, with bombs, with missiles, with a massacre, whatever it might be. The Israelis, of course, respond. And the international response to the Israeli response is generally, hey, Israel, you are harming Gazans, and that is genocide. And the Israelis have not quite picked up on this, and they haven't quite figured out how to deal with it. And they certainly haven't in the aftermath of October 7th. They haven't figured out how to deal with this exploitation of Gaza misery by Hamas, and they lose public opinion over time, as we can see, for example, with President Biden, entirely sympathetic 5 months ago, now quite negative about Israel and its actions.
So what has to happen to turn that around?
Well, I think the good news is that Gazans in large numbers understand that they're being exploited for political publicity reasons and don't like it. Polling just before, two sets of polling just before October 7th, plus many interviews and anecdotes and demonstrations and the like have suggested that there are many, if not most, Gazans who want to be liberated from Hamas, who want to be, they're not pro-Israel, they're not friendly to Israel, but they hate Hamas. They want to be taken from under the thumb of Hamas.
And that is a beginning. It's a beginning of the other mentality, conciliation. Daniel Pipes, the author of Israel Victory, he's talked about rejectionism. So what's the answer to rejectionism? He says it is conciliation. We'll get to what that means coming up. And on the Michael Medved Show, Daniel Pipes is talking about his forthcoming book. It isn't even a new book because it's not out until June 18th of 2024, but it is eagerly awaited. The title of the book is Israel Victory, How Zionists Win Acceptance and Palestinians Get Liberated. And we mentioned before that one of the mentalities that he discusses and dismisses in the book is the mentality of rejectionism, or the Palestinians' negation of Jews, Judaism, Zionism, and Israel. And rejectionism has done nothing but terrible damage to the Palestinian cause for more than 100 years. The other mentality, which is also not a solution, it is part of the problem, Daniel Pipe says, is conciliation, or the attempt by Israelis, by Zionists, to win Palestinian acceptance, not by defeating their enemy, but by placating the enemy. What's an example of that kind of destructive conciliation, Daniel?
Well, it's not destructive as such. It just doesn't work. In other words, from the beginning, the Zionists thought that if you bring clean water and trains and ports and cotton exports and the like, the Palestinians will say, great, this is what we want. My best example is Theodor Herzl, the great founder of Zionism. He wrote a novel in 1902 called The Old New Land, The Old New Land. It was his vision of the Jewish homeland. And there's one Muslim who appears in it, one Palestinian, and he's a merchant, and he couldn't be more delighted with the Zionists. He said, this is wonderful. I'm making so much more money. This is great. Please, you know, more of you come. So that was Herzl's idea. And I would argue that David Ben-Gurion, Moshe Dayan, Shimon Peres, and other of the great figures of Israeli history have all followed on that. And even today, Netanyahu somewhat follows in this legacy. And even today in Gaza, there's this sense that the only way that Israel will be accepted is through the enrichment of the Gazans, by Gazans doing well economically. That economics will trump politics. The Palestinians will forget their politics if they get wealthy. Well, that doesn't happen. It's a nice thought, but it just doesn't work that way. As people get richer, look at China, they get more aggressive, usually, not less so. We're not about to enrich Vladimir Putin in order to get him to leave Ukraine. It's as absurd as that.
So if you if conciliation and enrichment doesn't work, what does?
I'm arguing that the Israelis should take two steps. The first one is to get rid of Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. Absolutely foul institutions, murderous, genocidal institutions. And secondly, they should work with Palestinians, West Bankers, Gazans, who will work with them. And they should make a great effort to convince the Palestinians that Israel is okay. And there again, as we were talking before the break, there are plenty of West Bankers and Gazans who see things that way. Israelis don't exploit that fact. They don't build on this support they have. It's small. It's maybe 20%. But it's there, and it's something to build on. So I'm optimistic. If I were to summarize my thesis, it's minimize violence, use violence where you have to, and maximize messaging. Explain Israel. Promote Israel, as opposed to trying to enrich the Palestinians, convince the Palestinians.
And what has been misguided about all of the past efforts which have failed to convince the Palestinians that actually they have, compared to other people in the Arab world, a high standard of living, they've made economic progress, educational progress? Why are they blind to the gains that the Palestinian people have made because of the existence and the flourishing of the State of Israel?
They're not blind to it. It's just secondary. The political cause is so much more important. The vision of a Palestine replacing Israel is far more compelling than having a late model car in a nice apartment. That's nice, but it's not the vision.
And so the essence of the convincing of the other side is what? And will that kind of conviction, that kind of ability to try to persuade, will that see a successful end to the Gaza conflict?
I can't guarantee it, but I think it's a good start. In other words, the Israelis make great efforts at what they call Hasbara propaganda. Internationally, you know, around the world, selling Israel as an exciting, nice place, pretty girls on the beach. That's great, no problem with that. But the real focus should be on the Palestinians. For example, the prisons in Israel with what they call security prisoners, not normal criminals, but people who are in prison for political crimes, for murder and attempted murder. So forth, for political purposes, they have, in effect, a kind of graduate school in rejectionism. Literally, there are courses and so forth So someone goes into prison radical and comes out even more radical and more skilled at being radical. I would think the Israelis should focus. I want the Israelis to focus on prisoners, school children, mosque participants to get a different message. They haven't tried. They haven't tried.
So I take it that you're not one of those people who believes that a current Palestinian terror prisoner named Barghouti is going to be the Nelson Mandela of Israel.
I do not. No, there are no Nelson Mandelas, but there are plenty of West Bankers and Gazans who appreciate Israel. And for that matter, Israeli Muslim citizens, too, who appreciate it. Their voices need to be heard. They need to be amplified. They need to have positions of power. They don't have them. It's the most rejectionist, the most radical, the most genocidal who rule.
So you're more hopeful about Mansour Abbas than about Mahmoud Abbas?
Exactly. I think Mansour Abbas is a very interesting character. He is an Islamist. He is a Muslim Israeli. He heads a party that's in the Israeli parliament. And he has come out and said, Israel's a Jewish country. Accept it. That didn't get so much attention, but I think it is a minor revolution. And it should be built on. The Israelis should build on it. We should build on it. This is good. And we want more of this. We don't want these rants from the Israeli Muslims. We want people who want to bring Israeli Muslims into the political process and, you know, try and get more money and get more police and whatever it is. It's positive. It's constructive. That's good.
And very quickly, what can the United States do?
We can stop trying to force the Israelis to stick to the old policy of enrichment and placation. We can understand that this is a failed policy that the Israelis themselves came up with and endorse there, using the same kind of tactics we do. I mean, we use economic sanctions. I mentioned Putin. Cuba, you name it. Why can't the Israelis do something similar to put pressure on their enemies?
The forthcoming book, Israel Victory, it is from Daniel Pipes, who is president of the Middle East Forum. You can read information about it at michaelmedved.com, and be sure to order your advance copy. We will be right back.